You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The U.S. population is aging. Roughly 1 in 5 Americans is 65 and older and is projected to grow in the coming years. And a large share live alone, roughly 28%, according to the 2023 census, a number that's been steadily increasing over the years as society has changed. Back in the 1950s, census data showed only 1 in 10 adults of any age lived alone. Here in California, the number of seniors living alone in the Central Valley has grown by more than 30% since 2012. While many modern-day seniors may appreciate their independence, doctors warn there are significant health risks when living alone because it could become loneliness. Tim Sheehan is a senior reporter and health reporting fellow with the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. He wrote about the rise of people over the age of 65 living alone and the potential negative health effects. He joins us today with reporting that you can find in the digital publication, The Intersection. Welcome back to Insight, Tim.
Thanks, Vicky. Good to be here.
So what attracted you to this story?
Yeah, for me, this is one that hits close to home. I'm in that 65 plus age group now, sad to say. I've been happily married for many years and be for many more, but each of my parents lived on their own for many years after their divorce, and they coped with it in different ways. So it made me kind of want to take a look at the issue as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, your reporting focuses on the Central Valley. I mean, just taking that 30,000-foot view across this 8-county region, which is very large in the state, what does living alone for people who are 65 and older look like in the Central Valley?
Well, the population as a whole, as you mentioned, is getting older as the baby boom generation bubble ages and people are living longer. So the number of people who are living alone is older. Whether it's a result of divorce or a result of being widowed, a spouse or loved one dying, passing away, or families that are moving away. As children grow up, they move away for their education or they move away for their career. Families become more spread out. And so you have a greater prevalence of people who are living on their own as empty nesters. So that's kind of where we're at with this thing.
For your reporting, you spoke with Dr. Alex Sheriffs, who specializes in geriatric medicine with the UCSF Fresno Medical Education Program. Here's his theory as to why.
The demographics of the world are changing. You know, it's not just that kids are moving away, but people are tending to have smaller families. As social mores change, there are more people who are single, older people, because they're widowed or divorced. So being alone is more common. It doesn't mean we should be lonely.
Yeah, that's an important distinction. You know, a lot of people may appreciate being able to live alone and have that independence. But what Dr. Sheriffs is saying is that there's this balance between independence and loneliness, and it can be a fine line.
You know, many people who are living alone, they like it. They like the independence. They appreciate they can do it in their time, wake up when they want, do this now, do that later. That's fine. It's when being alone becomes lonely that is bad for our, it's bad for our health. It's bad for cardiovascular health. It puts us at risk for dementia. When it becomes that, when being alone becomes lonely, well, that's not good. That needs to be addressed.
Some people might be surprised that, you know, living alone, loneliness can be bad for your heart. It can put someone at risk for dementia. What did you learn about some of the potential adverse health risks that doctors associate with loneliness in seniors living alone?
Well, it's a combination of both physical and mental health. From physical standpoint, it's, you know, who's around to help if there's a medical emergency, if you have a fall or there's a heart attack or a stroke, and there's no one around to provide that help immediately. And a psychologist that I spoke with and Dr. Sheriffs both spoke about the potential for living alone to create anxiety or depression or again, contribute to dementia or just a feeling of malaise or lack of motivation to get out and around.
When you spoke with Dr. Sheriffs, I mean, he laid out some numbers about this, and it's pretty startling.
There's like a 30% increase in cardiovascular disease by virtue of the living alone. Oof. That's the risk. 50% increase in dementia. And I think that comes back to, you know, the power of exercise, the power of social interaction, the power of mental engagement that happens if other people are around. There's a 32% increase in stroke.
I mean, that is sizable. And even in addition to that, living alone, if it becomes loneliness, I mean, that can't make you feel good. I mean, you can feel depressed, as you mentioned. What did you learn about the toll on someone's mental and emotional health and the impacts that this could have for people who are 65 and older?
Well, the older we get, the more challenging it becomes to do everyday tasks. You know, we become less physically able to do things. We may become emotionally less motivated to do things, like take care of our nutritional needs, to eat properly, to be able to keep track of our medications. Because as we get older, I know as I'm getting older, I'm having more and more things that I'm having to take medicines for. And, you know, they have to be taken at certain times of the day, some with food, some without food. You know, it gets complicated. And the more layers that you add in, the more confusing it can become. The experts I talked to, both Dr. Sheriffs and a psychologist I interviewed, both said that the challenges are physical and mental, emotional. That loneliness creates a lack of motivation to take care of themselves, to feed themselves properly. Nutritional deficiency is one of the leading causes of death for people 65 and older.
I mean, I just think if just having even a roommate, I mean, it doesn't have to be a family member or someone who is a significant other or spouse. But yeah, just having that extra pair of eyes in your home, you know, they can see if there's food in the fridge. They can see if you've been taking your medication. They can, you know, maybe see how things are around the house, and that can maybe reflect, you know, how you're feeling, and they can kind of read into that a little bit more. I mean, that gets removed when you're living alone.
Precisely. Absolutely. You know, Amanda Nugent Devine, the psychologist that I talked to, was talking about it doesn't even need to be, you know, we are social creatures. We are meant to have relationships as human animals. And those relationships don't necessarily have to be someone in the home, but as you're saying, someone who can check in. And she and Dr. Sheriffs both talked about the idea of having a network of friends, of loved ones, even if they're not in the home, who can check in on you, whether it's in person or by phone every day or so. And they can call someone to respond if necessary, if there's a medical emergency. And even non-human contact can
provide pets.
Even that non-human contact can provide valuable companionship for seniors who are living alone. Dr. Sheriffs mentioned that particularly.
Yeah, I can totally understand that. You know, they definitely can make a house feel like a home when you have a dog or a cat or a bird or a fish, whatever. You know, you just have someone, you know, sharing that space with you.
Absolutely. I've got our little wiener dog sitting off to the side of me here, so.
It is a special thing. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Tim Sheehan about his recent reporting on the rise of people over the age of 65 living alone and the potential negative health effects that can come with it. What was the thing that stood out most to you from your reporting? You mentioned that, you know, you witnessed this and went through this with your parents. You are getting older yourself, as I am. So, you know, you have your personal lived experience. But as a journalist with those glasses on, what did you learn and what stood out to you most?
Yeah, I think the thing that struck me is not only the proportion of seniors who are aging alone and how that percentage is growing, as well as just the sheer numbers growing as the baby boom ages, but that women far outnumber men in terms of the aging alone population, at least in the San Joaquin Valley. Here in the Valley, it's almost a 2-to-1 ratio of women aging alone to men. And so that was the thing that really stood out the most to me, as well as
why is that? Is it just because they live longer, or are there other things coming into play as to why they're living alone?
I think there's a number of different things that come into play. We've got women who generally outlive men, typically. We've got more women who maybe are living on their own after divorce, whereas maybe men, you know, remarry or find another companion or whatever the case may be. You know, it's hard to pin down because the data only goes so far to tell us the whys and wherefores of all that.
Hmm. You've joined us in the past to talk about access to care issues across the Central Valley. Last year, you wrote about how the growth in the senior population in the San Joaquin Valley outpaces available specialists. I mean, what does that look like today, given that the population of people 65 and older continues to grow across the Central Valley?
Well, we still generally have a shortage of geriatric specialists. I mean, that has not really changed over the past year. Geriatrics has not typically been one of the more desirable fields for doctors to specialize in, despite the fact that there is a growing need for that. And it matters because as we age, as I age, and other people get older as well, we layer on the more and more chronic conditions. The older we get, the more, Dr. Sheriffs last year basically said, you know, the more stuff we have in our garage, the more we grow old. And the same thing goes with chronic conditions that we collect and the medications that are needed for that. Geriatric specialists are trained to deal with the entirety of an older person's conditions, as opposed to many doctors who treat younger people, they're treating a discrete condition and then moving on. They're treating a set of symptoms, whereas, you know, multiple things can create a similar set of symptoms in an older person. So that ability to be able to divine one thing from another is important for seniors.
This has been a conversation that I've been having with friends, you know, regularly over the years. As we get older, if some don't have children, if some aren't married, or maybe we're worried about our own parents or older people that we love dearly, especially as people kind of move away and they don't live as close together, not having that community, how important it is to build and invest in that community, because it can pay dividends when you get older and you need it. So what are some of the ways in which seniors can look to connect more in their community? What resources did you find?
Well, just about every county in California has an agency or an organization, sometimes an agency and organizations, that can refer seniors or their caregivers to resources for such things as transportation for people who are old. Maybe they don't drive or have no wish to drive. You know, people who are shut in, they can provide transportation. They can provide visitation. They can provide social activities if a person can get out of the house. Nutritional programs, whether it's senior meals programs at senior centers or Meals on Wheels for shut-ins. There's a lot of different stuff that's out there. And just about every community has, I shouldn't say just about every, many communities have a dedicated senior center with activity programs. Fresno has a number of community centers that have programs, including some for seniors. But Fresno, as the fifth largest city in the state, it stunned me when I was still working for the Fresno Bee a couple of years ago that Fresno had no dedicated senior citizen center. They're working to develop one now. But that's the type of thing we're talking about is a city investing in its senior community, you know, beyond community centers where there's programs for all ages, for a place where seniors can go and it's just seniors and they have a population and a community that they are comfortable with programs and activities for them.
Tim, as always, thanks for joining us.
It's been a pleasure, Vicki. Thank you.
Tim Sheehan is a senior reporter and health reporting fellow with the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. His recent article published by The Intersection details the rise in people over the age of 65 living alone and the possible negative health effects that can come with it, as well as resources that can help. We have a link on our Insight page. Still ahead, a new generation of athletes is preparing to take to the skies over Northern California. We'll learn more about the sport of pigeon racing and how it's coming home to roost in Sacramento. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.